I just want to share with you tonight, just three. And the first one is this. Don't waste your pain. Instead, let your grief be a reflection of your love. There's an author of several books on grief by the name of Bob Dietz who said, "Grief is the last act of love that we have to give to those who have died." If that's the case, and I believe it is, then any pain you feel, any sense of loss or hurt, can actually be an expression of your love for the one that you've lost. I've also heard it said that the depth of your grief is a measure of the depth of your love. If you're grieving deeply, don't let that feeling of grief overwhelm you. Let it be a remembrance, a reminder of the great love that you shared with the one that you've lost. If you're just trying to avoid pain, you might be tempted to rush through grief as fast as possible. But if, on the other hand, your grief really is a way to express your last act of love, then maybe you'd rather take some more time. Take as much time as you need to make sure that you express it well. There's no hurry, there's no timetable with grief. Having said that, though, I do want to give you hope. After my wife died, I read a book called Getting to the Other Side of Grief. And I wondered, honestly, is there really another side at all? Most days I felt like I'd be living in my grief forever. But I can say now, just as honestly, there is another side of grief. I have experienced that crossing over. And Jesus said as much when he talked to his disciples just before he died. He said, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." That's from John 16:20. So that was point number one. Don't waste your pain. Instead, let your grief be a reflection of your love. Number two, know that your grief is unique and give yourself permission to grieve in your own way. Just because you don't grieve the same way you see others grieving or think that you should grieve, don't let that throw you into a panic. I had a friend of mine who recently said the best advice that someone gave her during her first year of grief was to give herself permission to grieve as the grief came to her. When she felt numb, she wondered why she couldn't cry. Didn't she love her husband? Of course she did. But she was just too numb to be able to feel anything. Knowing that it was okay to feel numb gave her great freedom. She was told, "You get to choose the way you celebrate Christmas this year." That was freedom to her, to grieve and to do what she felt she needed to do. Also know that there are stages to grief, and they don't always come in the same order or at the same length for every person. Give yourself permission to walk through these stages of grief, these cycles of grief, in your own way, in your own order, and in your own time. I'm encouraged by the different ways that people in the Bible grieved differently. While the depth of your grief can be a reflection of the depth of your love, it isn't always. People respond to death in so many ways. When King David's son lay dying, the Bible says he fasted and prayed for days on end. But when his son actually died, he got up and ate and carried on with his life. This doesn't mean that he didn't love his son. He did, as evidenced by his fasting and praying prior to his son's death. But the Bible says this, "Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate." People were a little shocked, but this is how he behaved when before he had been on his face, fasting and praying. And he simply responded, "I did what I can do," basically. When Moses died, the Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. So God said, okay, he's died, get up, let's go to the land. It's a little shocking. And yet, on the other hand, when all of Job's children died tragically and suddenly without warning, the Bible says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And his grief and his suffering went on chapter after chapter after chapter, until God finally brought him to the other side, and then restored to him and gave him even a double portion of what he had had before. Your grief can be very different. When Jesus' dear friend Lazarus died, the Bible describes Jesus' reaction in two words, one of the two shortest verses in the Bible. The two words were simply these: Jesus wept. By the way, the only other two-word verse in the Bible is this: rejoice always. Jesus wept and rejoice always. I think there's a great deal of latitude for us to grieve and even to do both at the same time. Again, it reminds me of Jesus' words that I mentioned before: you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. If you feel numb and can't cry, that's okay. If you cry like a baby all the time, it's okay. Your grief really is unique, and know that your grief can change over time as well, even to joy. Leave the timetable in God's hands. And third, I'd like to encourage you that you are not alone. You are not alone. Even though grief is unique, perhaps the greatest tool that Satan has to discourage you is to think that you're all alone in your grief, that no one else has ever felt the feelings you're feeling, that no one else could possibly relate, that no one else could truly understand what you're going through. When my wife and I had our first miscarriage, sadly of four miscarriages, we felt so alone. All those emotions and feelings were so new to us, and we couldn't imagine that others could possibly know what we were experiencing. But as people began to find out what had happened to us, they reached out to us, telling us they had lost children too through miscarriage. They had just never talked about it. We were surprised by how many people had gone through the same thing. Even though ours was unique in some ways because of our own views on children and the loss and the personal circumstances, there were some commonalities too. And when I lost my wife to cancer 5 years ago, I read a book by C.S. Lewis called A Grief Observed, about losing his own wife. While the details of his situation were different, there were so many similarities that it was uncanny. I reread that book again this week, and I think I cried on every page through it. Just experiencing again what I experienced 5 years ago. In her foreword to C.S. Lewis's book, Madeline L'Engle talks about the similarities between Lewis's grief and her own, saying this: Lewis mentions the strange feeling of fear, the needing to swallow, the forgetfulness. And C.S. Lewis and I share, too, the fear of the loss of memory. No photograph can truly recall the beloved's smile. Occasionally, a glimpse of someone walking down the street, someone alive, moving, in action, will hit with a pang of genuine recollection. But our memories, precious though they are, still are like sieves, and the memories inevitably leak through. You may feel some of those things tonight too. If you do, know this: you're not alone. There are many people here in this room, who can relate to what you're going through. There are people throughout history who have lost loved ones to wars, disease, natural causes, all of whom have felt the pang of grief, regardless of the circumstances or the timing of their loved one's death. I was at a funeral this past weekend of my cousin's husband. He He died suddenly of a massive heart attack at the age of 49, in perfect health up to that point without any warning, leaving behind his wife and three teenage children. I have sung Jesus Loves Me at the graveside of children who have died before their first birthday. I've sat in a cancer center where my wife was giving treatments, overhearing a man who had just retired saying he had worked his whole life looking forward to the day he could retire, and now he was facing this. There is just never a good time to die. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And God understands that. But until the day that Jesus comes back, none of us get out of here alive. If you're feeling alone, please know that you're not. Please make use of the fact that there are others around you who have gone through and are going through what you're going through. There are people here tonight who are glad to talk with you, to pray with you. We have a grief share group here that will be starting up again after the holidays, January 25th, where you can meet weekly with others who are going through grief. My own personal testimony about grief share was that it was the only place that I could pay attention to what anyone was saying, whether in the church or otherwise. Grief was the only thing on my mind for months and months. And of course, just as Jesus knew what it was like to lose a loved one in Lazarus, God himself knows what it's like as he watched Jesus die. Even though the cause was good and God knew what was on the other side, the loss was real. God knows what you're going through too, as do those around you. You are not alone. And one more time, that reminds me of the words of Jesus, who knows what you're going through as well. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. To summarize these three points, these three encouragements: number one, don't waste your pain. Let your grief be a reflection of your love. Number two, know that your grief is unique and give yourself permission to grieve in your own way. And number three, you're not alone. Make use of the people and the resources that are God among you. As I close, I want to pray over you these words of Jesus, that you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Even in the middle of your grief, Lord, we pray now. As you remember your loved one tonight, I am praying in faith these words of Jesus over every one of you that's here in this room or listening later or reading later, that your grief will turn.